Thank you.
Okay, so I would like to warmly welcome all of you here on this conference. It's a great honor for me to be here and to speak here about our latest developments. I'm Péter Stefán. I work for the Hungarian National Research and Education Network Service Provider, abbreviated as NIIFI. And as a matter of fact, I'm a technical guy who accumulated experience in the high-performance computing area and distributed storage area during the last 11 years. Today, I'm going to talk about what kind of services we can offer to the user communities who are representing the library services, public collections, and any corresponding services. So I've divided my talk into two areas. First, I would like to talk about infrastructure services. What kind of infrastructure can we offer to your community? And then I would gradually shift onto the service level. What kind of services can we offer to you? I would like to talk about the data service, the data storage, the server infrastructure, naturally the cloud that has been built on the service, and some any other auxiliary services that we can give to you for use. Finally, I would like to conclude with the future work that we plan to do in the near future. So let me start with a personal remark. As an NREN, we are in touch with a great deal of user communities all over the country. And I would say that the people in libraries and in the public collections are the best communities among the many, for many reasons. The very first reason is this user community is a quite convergent user community, and it has really great objectives to serve, preserving national values and national archives. So from the very beginning of the NIIF history, NIF is very keen on to understand your exact user requirements, and we try to have a clear vision on the issues and the problems you are facing with. And this is the reason why we are chasing any possibilities to offer services to you. So I have listed a couple of statements here that can be That is the perspective of the IT provider here. What might be the problems, what might be the issues library services are encountering at the moment? We sense that harmonizing user management and federating user access, and also federating the different, harmonizing the different user management policies, might be one of the values that we can give to you. Second, to facilitate the workflows that you are doing, for example, helping to automate the enrollment into a library, and aiding it at the user authentication and authorization level might also be a great area in which we can help you. It is quite obvious that offering distributed storage and data storage and services might be beneficial, serving as in primary storage, a backup storage, and an archival storage. And also providing high-quality data access might also be a benefit for you. But naturally, you feel free to extend this list and revise my statements here. So these are the basic requirements I would like to reflect in my talk today. We have been involved in development that is pointed out by János Mohácsi yesterday in his plenary talk. It is called the New Hungary Development Plan, abbreviated as UMFT program, and it has two separate initiatives. TIOP works for infrastructure development, and TAMOP supports service development on the infrastructure. So first, let me start with the infrastructure services we have been developed in the past 2 years. First, János also pointed out the data network. This is a re-engineered version of the previous HBone network that was available for our user community. This one is based on dark fibers. The practical meaning of having dark fibers is that we can have n times 10 gigi connection on this network. On the other hand, this network is a high-quality network in the sense that it has low bandwidth, it has high bandwidth, low latency, and it offers a great deal of services, network-oriented services for you. For example, you can create a dedicated network, private networks on top of this, on top of these dark fibers. So this is one of the infrastructure services and our core infrastructure service that we can offer to you. Second, there is a distributed data storage facility available. We purchased 500 terabytes of raw storage space, and we installed them on two separate points of the Hungarian backbone network. 250 terabytes is located in the West Hungarian University, or University of West Hungary, in Sopron, and the other one is installed in the Polytechnics of Dunaújváros. The reason why we separated the two sites is simple. We wanted to achieve geographical redundancy among the two storage sites. As you can see here on the site, I have just a small pointer, the Sopron campus and the Dunaújváros campus is available through and are joined through the HBone network through 4x gigi connections. We didn't mean to have a large access speed, a large bandwidth, because we intended these storage facilities to serve as a secondary storage underneath the HPC storage. One of the features or the key properties of the storage area is that they are based on Fujitsu's Ethernus DX80. We have 1 terabyte of disks, and we have a fully redundant architecture in the sense of power supply, in the sense of rate controllers, and also disk arrays. As we are quite environment sensitive, we wanted to choose a solution that supports energy saving. So if some portions of the storage is not used for some reasons, then these portions are automatically turned down and then switch back again when they get used again. The total capacity, as I said, it's 500 terabytes. It's a gross capacity, so if you want to have some redundancy, then you have to pay for the redundancy in terms of storage space. It has a really low unit price. Actually, we acquired this facility more than a year ago, and at that time, its unit cost was €400 per terabyte, including everything, the disks, the controllers, the front-end servers, and all pieces of the infrastructure, maybe, and even the racks in which they are located. It offers a really reasonable I/O performance, which is 120 megabytes per second, which is exactly the speed or bandwidth of a gigi interface, and we have 4 of them, so we can have a pro for 4x 120 megabytes per second simultaneously. How can you access this service? So as I pointed out, we Within the framework of this service, we are offering raw network disk spaces in the size of a couple of terabytes. So the largest unit that we can give to you is 8 terabytes, but the users can request more, n times 8 terabytes of storage space. And you can access these facilities through the iSCSI protocol, which is a network protocol that helps you to join your network virtual disk to your local server, which also means that you also need a server on your site if you want to use these, this infrastructure. The third infrastructure component that we can give to you is the cloud infrastructure. This map shows where cloud sites, cloud servers have been installed so far. So where you can find small clouds, which means a site containing 5 to 10 servers. In Budapest, which is in a great cloud, facilitates some more cloud infrastructure. Thanks to Adam Horvat, you can even find cloud servers in the National Staging Library here as well. So thanks Guy, for offering this to us. And this is just a slide illustrating that we also had a really focused service development in the past year. This slide represents a service request form or an application form through which you can request our services. Before putting this site into production, we did have a very heterogeneous service request or application request forms, ranging from doc files to TXT files and PDF files, which then harmonized into a single uniform web interface that also helps saving some administration work within the company, since you don't have to retype usernames, user accounts, and user data. So, about the services that we are offering. First, let me start with the cloud service. The cloud service, even the term of the cloud, is a really fuzzy term at the moment. It has practically, it means that something is a service. It's a philosophy, how I can access to something. And there are three subdivisions of, or sub-definitions of the cloud, which means the software as a service, which allows us to use a piece of software or a piece of application as if it was running on our site. Typical examples are Google Docs and application-specific portals. The second one is the platform as a service, where the users can access some sort of platforms. For a typical example is the distributed computational infrastructure, or in maiden name, the grid, which is already a platform as a service, because the users can get a computational and data storage platform by accessing the grids today. Other typical examples are web services, databases, and high availability clusters. And then the final definition is the infrastructure as a service, and our we use the term cloud representing the infrastructure and the infrastructure's related services. The funny thing is that the three here are not layers in the technical terms, but some people might consider them as a layers built on top of each other. So basically, infrastructure clouds are, to our understanding, decoupling, a virtualization of resources, which means to decouple the operating system layer from the underlying hardware layers, plus extended by a virtual image management framework here. Using a cloud service might have a couple of obvious advantages. One of them is the better utilization of the resources, so we can use them more in a more fancy and more rational way. We can have less hardware and more operating system and separated operating systems over them. It helps us saving some operational costs, so we don't have to pay the electricity bill for 100 servers, only for 50 or 20 servers, depending on your typical usage or load. And the total cost of ownership and long-term operational costs are also expected to be low. A cloud service is gradually scalable. That means that we can start with a smaller set of infrastructure, and then we can incrementally increase its size fitting to our demands. And the user, the way how a user feels about using this service is also represents an improvement, because the user feels some sort of ownership on the resource. So it's my own sandbox, and I can do whatever I want. And this is one of the disadvantages of the cloud service, because yes, we do have some really appealing features on the one hand, but on the other hand, there are some still to be resolved issues. For example, security, how to securely manage the operating system images over the cloud. And the second is the credential handling, how to assign user credentials to the different users. So these are all needs to be sorted out and be solved in the near future. This is my most technical slide. I just wanted to highlight you that how complicated it is to put together a real cloud service. So these light blue boxes represent the servers, the infrastructure behind, and the white or lighter blue boxes, and also the orange boxes, represent the software components that are executed over the hardware platform. So you can see a great deal of components here. And that means that the more complicated, the more complex system you have, the higher the chance of having a failure in it. So this is something which also needs to be sorted out when using clouds. Okay. The unique features of our solution are the following. So we can request a user, if someone wants to use our service, our cloud service, he or she can do naturally. He can request virtual machines, any number of virtual machines, and a set of virtual machines interconnected by a virtual network, even. You can get a really reasonable layer 2 connectivity among the virtual servers. To be honest, the virtual network management is done in a halfly automated manner, which means that we still need some manual network assistance to configure a new virtual network into the cloud. It is possible to live migrate the different virtual images from one host to the other one. So if one virtual machine service runs here in the OSZK, then it can be easily migrated onto another site in case of network failure or site failure. We can give guaranteed CPU performance to the virtual machines. And the console of the different virtual machines can be accessed through a well-worked-out web interface. But the virtual machine and the service request is not automated yet, and we haven't established two deep policies and two deep workflows on how to use these resources. So if you happen to If you want to use our services, our cloud services, then you have to write an email, and we will conduct a personal face-to-face negotiations or maybe a phone negotiations with you. So my last slide. If I try to summarize During the last 2 years, we have created a great deal of services, both on the infrastructure and on the service side, that might be useful for communities representing libraries, public collections, and also cultural heritage organizations. We still have a lot to do in the future. Our plans are the following. So we want to improve our storage capacity by 1 petabyte of storage. This can be divided into disk-based and also tape-based archival facilities. Naturally, we want to improve our cloud on the service side, add some more security, add some network, add accounting system to our cloud, etc. The technology is already out there. And one of the greatest objectives is to spread the technology and find the potential usage scenarios that we are not aware of at the moment. This is what I call a user revolution, significantly improving and increasing the user base of the different services, which means allowing to access the storage not only to scientists, but some other organizations as well, or other communities as well, sorry. And then I think that's all. Thank you for your attention, and should you have any questions, then I'm happy to answer them.